Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
So I'm just excited about what God is doing, and I want you to know that whenever a word goes forth like that, it is actually, so you got to understand, the enemy knows his job just like we supposed to know ours. I mean, he's on his job like we're supposed to be on our job. So I'm never surprised by what he tries to do. I know I'm the victor. See, here's the thing. We're not going to be victorious. We are victorious. So I don't have to wait for the battle is over. I shall now. I have the victory. You just got to believe that you are victorious. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So you just got to believe it. You don't have to pray and ask God, Lord, give me the victory. Just lift your hands and thank him for the victory. So we thank God for that. And I told Darlene, you know, I said, honey, listen, let me tell you something. You definitely don't have a chance. So she was sleeping because sometimes you just need to let people go to sleep and just relax. And when she did, I laid my hands on her in the name of Jesus, and I bound every wicked spirit that was coming against her. And then I slept good because I know she's healed. By the stripes of the Lord Jesus, we are healed. So I thank God for her healing and deliverance. I decree it. I declare it in the name of Jesus. But I'm gonna have prayer, and then I wanna just talk to you really just for a few minutes, but it's gonna be a very important few minutes because I wanna pour something into you in light of what was shared last week on due season. There are things that can block the things that God is trying to get to you. We've got to be mindful of these things. We've got to prepare ourselves for them. We have to be aware. We have to be discerning of the things that are happening around us, but the things that are happening in us. Because it's the things that are happening in us that are the most dangerous to us. So we really got to be aware of what's going on the inside of us. Because I hear a lot of people, you know, y'all know I have this Facebook ministry and people are always coming to me. I really think they think I'm their pastor. I said, sweetie, I'm not your pastor. You need to take that to your pastor. But I'm aware that people are going through things, you know, circumstances and situations around them. But I'm learning that the biggest struggle that all of us have are the ones that's going on inside of us. If we do not deal with the things that are working on the inside of us, then all of these things that you're praying for, and I'm going to show you scripturally. I'm not one of these preachers, Operanda, that like to talk about scripture and then just hoop and holler about it. I want you to understand exactly what the Word of God is saying because you're going to be held accountable. The good thing is we are loving ministry. The bad thing is you're going to know the Word and you're going to be accountable for it. So let's pray, and then we're going to get right into the word of the Lord. Lord God, we thank you today for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, everything that you promised to do. But Father, above all of that, we thank you for who you are, the way that you brought us back into the fold. You redeemed us. You set us free. You gave us victory even when we didn't deserve it. And for that, we want to say thank you. Father, I pray now, and I voluntarily decrease that Holy Spirit may increase, that your word will go forth in power under the anointing. I pray that you will permanently damage our ignorance, that we might be vessels of honor, sanctified and fit to be used by you. These things we ask in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. Amen. So again, you may have your seats. Again, we just thank God for all of you that are here today. And I want you to start, turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. We're going to start there. And we're going to talk about self-examination, how self-examination decreases pride. Self-examination will decrease pride that rises up on the inside of you. Now, I want you to understand something. When I talk about self-examination, I told Trey this months ago, and I even shared a book with him and Nikki, but this is a book that I read. I read it at least once or twice a year. It's called The Final Quest. And I read that book because it's forever reminding me how quickly we can slip from the things that we said we would never do again or the thoughts that we said we would never have again, how quickly we can slip back into those old habits that we want to get away from. Excuse me. Forgiveness is one of the paramount subjects to all believers. So I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk to you. I want to, line upon line, I want to go over what the Word of God says about forgiveness. This is actually the word that the Lord had given me to share at Pastor Kaikenau's, but since that time, He's given me something else to share there. So the Spirit of God released me to share this with you on this morning. But I think it's going to be not a wake-up call, but I think it's going to be a reminder to all of us of the importance of forgiveness and the things that we can sometimes harbor on the inside of us that can cause us to miss God. In the book of Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to start at verse 23. I'm going to go down to verse 25, and you can also get a little finger there in Matthew 8 and 21, because we're going to go there as well. But Mark 11, 23, and let me read it. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, that's past tense, receive them, and you shall have them. Now here's where I'm going. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So let's go to Matthew 18 and 21. Matthew 18, 21. And then it reads, and then Peter came to the Lord and said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? To seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now let's go to Matthew 5 and 21. I hope y'all are writing these down so that you can look at these again when you get back home. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave your gift before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I've got one more to read for you, Luke chapter 15. And we're going to go back to all of these. Luke chapter 15. This is a familiar passage of scripture, and we've heard it preached many times. But I thought it bears reading today because it's so important to what we're trying to talk about today. Luke 15, 21. Luke 15, 21, and it reads, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be married. So let's go back to Mark 11, 23. One of the paramount doctrines of Christianity is forgiveness. Forgiveness, without forgiveness, first of all, we could not even be believers. One of the last things that Jesus did when he was hanging on the cross, which shows you the importance of it, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The Bible says, if you cannot, when you stand praying, forgive. So when you're getting into those moments that you feel a real close moment to the Lord and you're feeling really intimate with him, but there is aught in your heart against somebody, he's saying you've got to forgive, because no matter what you come to the Father for, if you cannot forgive, the Father in heaven cannot forgive you. Uh-huh. Now, here's the problem. We many times carry so many things from our past lives, past hurts, abuse. Some people have been abused, women, children. People have talked about you. Your family have betrayed you. But yet, this is not a reason that God gives us to carry anything inside of our hearts. He said, if you cannot forgive, neither can your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Right. Now, here's the problem with that. You cannot get into heaven carrying unforgiveness.
Yeah.
I spent all of this week. Now, I do it every once in a while. And again, let me qualify this. I don't do this because I'm ready to die, but I do it because I'm ready to live. All this week, I was listening to videos about heaven. Just listening to the testimonies of people that have, you know, they died and they went to heaven and the Lord allowed them to come back. People that went to hell and was able to come back and testify about it. But you know, the one line that's running through all of these things is forgiveness. Forgiveness. There are people in hell right now that are there. I mean, people that confess Jesus as Lord, but yet they refuse to forgive, which meant they had an unrepentant heart. And because of what God said in his word, God will not violate his word just to get you into heaven. He cannot do it. Not only will not do it, he cannot do it because he's a God of love. But how many of you know that he's a God of justice?
Yeah, yeah.
So his word has to be justified. And here's the insult to God. He said, if you cannot forgive. Now, let me tell you why the Father said this through his son, Jesus. The things that Jesus went through for us, mm-hmm. that he did not deserve. And the Father not only put our sins on him, but the Bible said that he became sin. You've got to get a revelation of this thing. He not only died for our sins, but the Bible says that he became sin. Anything that sin is, anything that sin can be, the worst atrocious crime, the worst serial killer, the worst thing that you can think about when you think about sin, the Bible says that Jesus became this that we might become the righteousness of God.
My God.
So it's an insult to the Father that his son would go through all of this, and we would have things in our heart that we refuse to forgive people of.
My Lord.
I can testify to this because I know for years, Trey, for years, years, not months, years, I refused to forgive my father for what he did to my mother. I would not, Evangelist, I wouldn't forgive him. I couldn't. I mean, it was so heavy in my spirit that I just could. I mean, I would get around him. I loved him. I mean, believe me. When I say he was my man, my dad was just an amazing pastor, an amazing administrator, an amazing, brilliant man full of wisdom. But because of a personal thing that he and my mother went through that had nothing to do with me. And listen, Pat, it took my mother to tell me and remind me, that's none of your business. So I said, now, if she can forgive him, what in the world is wrong with me?
Yeah.
And see, this is where many of us are right now. We are walking around carrying things. Now, here's the bad part about it. The person that you're angry with, they moved on.
Uh-huh.
But they're still controlling you because you're still angry. Sort of like, I know me and Trey can relate to this. You're driving the car. Yeah, I knew you were going there. Trey's like, here we go. And somebody cuts you off. And y'all know the story that I told y'all what happened last year. You know, I've been in ministry for over 40 years. And I mean, I'm pretty much thinking I got it together. And it's amazing how God will use one incident to remind you, you're not there yet, young man.
Yeah.
Because I remember, Trey, when the guy cut me off and I followed the guy. I followed him. I mean, he cut me off twice. So now it's personal. Now it's not even a thing of oops. Now it's personal. So I followed him, and I mean weaving in and out of traffic. I mean, I was determined. I don't know what I thought I was going to do when I got there, But I mean, I was going to do something. And when I got the evangelism, here's the amazing thing about God. Now, you can carry all of this stuff on the inside of you, but when I got there and I got out, I was getting out of the car. As I opened the door, here's what, now the guy, you got to understand, I pulled in front of him so he couldn't drive anymore because I said, I'm going to get him. And I mean, I was ready to, yeah, I was there. I'm serious. I was there. I was ready to square up. I mean, that's it. I'm ready. Get out your car, defend yourself because I am there. As I opened the door, and now you got to understand, I was on my way to church. I was right on Route 1, right by the Regal Theaters, on my way to church. As I opened the door, the Holy Spirit said, I hope you're getting ready to invite him to church. So now I'm stuck there in a position just like this. And the guy in the car is looking at me like he shook. Because he's like, what is this man going to do? So I'm sitting there. Now I don't know what to do. My pride kicks in because now I've cut him off. And he's looking at me like, are we going to do this or what? And I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready. So I'm standing there and I said, have a nice day, sir. All the way to church. I said, oh, man, I can't believe that I did this. I can't believe that I did. I can't. But here's the thing. The Bible says, watch and pray that you what? Enter not into temptation. Yeah. You see, here's the problem. We have things that happen to us, and we should move on, but you get to church sometimes, and if you have not forgiven that person that cut you off, you can't even lift your hands in praise and adoration because you're still mad.
My Lord.
And that person is not thinking about you. They have not given you a second thought. They're going on, they're going to go home and they're going to eat dinner. They are not thinking about you. And even when you leave church and get home, you're still mad.
My Lord.
This is the problem that even in our pulpits that we have right now. People refuse to repent.
My God.
They refuse to say sorry. They refuse to tell God, I'm sorry, Father. They refuse to tell their family member and their friends, I apologize. Let me ask you this. Is it worth going to hell over?
No.
I mean, when I was listening to the testimony of Mary Kay Baxter, and she was talking about this pastor that was in hell, and he was standing there holding his Bible like he was trying to preach in hell. And when Jesus came by, he said to Jesus, Lord, get me out of here. I'll preach your gospel now. I'll be good. I'll do what you want me to do. And Jesus responded by saying to him, no, you won't. You're a liar. And he began to curse Jesus out. You remember that. He began to curse him out. Why? Because something was wrong still on the inside. You see, here's the problem. You can cut a tree down, but if you don't get down to the root, my God, that thing that made you angry, it may look as though it's not there. But as soon as one thing happens, it brings it back up again.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can be watching television and you think you are delivered. And one person will say one thing that reminds you of something that happened years ago, and it brings you right back into that same situation again. That's why the Word of God says, if you are bringing a gift to the altar, Magdalene, this is serious. If you're bringing a gift to the altar, and you remember that you and somebody have a problem, it says, listen, leave your gift at the altar, go to that person and get it right. This is a story, a parable that Jesus told, because he wants us as believers to understand the importance of God the Father to forgive one another. The prodigal son, we know his story, but let's talk about the father for a moment. You got to understand, this story is not just about a father and a son that had a difference, because that's what fathers and sons do. I mean, they just have differences. They have differences because the father is already the father. The son wants to prove that I can get to the position that you are. So he no longer wants to listen to the father, but he wants to show the father, I know just as much as you, and I'm just as smart as you. And you know, the funny thing is, we don't even care. We don't care how smart you are. You know, a person that's really full of wisdom is not trying to prove it. They just walk in wisdom.
Amen.
So the son saying, you know what? I can't be in the position that my father is. I can't even be in the next position below him because my older brother has that position. So he did something, Nikki, that he had no right to do. He went to his father and asked for his portion of his inheritance. Now, traditionally, and you know, I know that Ruth is Jewish. It is the oldest son that gets, that's entitled to the inheritance, not the younger son. So the younger son was completely out of order, but yet it shows you the heart of the father. Even when we have no right to go to God for certain things, God loves us so much that he gives it to us, not because we ask, because he loves us.
Yes.
You got to get this thing.
Amen.
God loves you so much.
Yes.
You got to understand. Listen, I have 5 children, 10 grandchildren. Love them all. And I mean, my grandchildren can get more out of me than my children. But here's the thing. Sometimes I don't give them things that they ask for, not because I don't think they're deserving, but I know they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with you don't love me. You know, we really get faith and love confused. I remember talking to Dolly one time when my friend Lawrence used to belong to the ministry. He came by the house, and Lawrence, you got to understand, I got to give you this description. Lawrence is a big guy. Lawrence is like, what is he, Pat? About 6'4", about 240, 250. And I mean, he's not fat. He's a big guy. So now, you know, when Lawrence left, I said, well, honey, you love me, right? She said, yeah. I said, so if you got hurt and I was standing there and Lawrence was standing there, who would you ask to take you up the steps? See, we get love and faith confused. So she looked at me and said, honey, I love you, but I want Lawrence to take me up the stairs. Well, I thought you loved me. She said, what's love got to do with it? And this is where we get confused. We get the love and the faith thing confused, but we got to understand God does things for us, not just because we have faith in him, but because he loves us.
Yes, amen.
He loves you enough.
Yes,
to bring you here today,
yes,
to hear this word on forgiveness,
yes,
because I promise you, somebody in here today is dealing with unforgiveness.
My Lord.
I promise you that. There have never been a time in my 41 years in ministry that I have not preached a sermon where somebody in the audience was dealing with it. I promise you that. If you cannot forgive, neither can your father. You can be the most gifted person in the world. Because the gifts and the callings of God are what? Without repentance. So you can be gifted and talented, but if you can't forgive, God can't use you. You are ineffective in the kingdom of God. You can stand there and preach and deliver and, you know, lay hands on people and they fall out. People can jump up and get healed. But what good does it do? What did Jesus say? He said at that last day, Matthew chapter 24. That people will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I went to visit the ones that was in the hospital. I did all of these things. And Jesus said, well, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now get this. I never knew you.
My Lord.
He didn't say, evangelist, I forgot you. He said, I never knew you. Isn't it amazing that we can think that we are really in God, but when you don't develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus, he's going to look at you in that day and say, I don't even know who you are. I'm looking to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, but I don't want to hear, who is John Bazemore?
My Lord.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a problem with that.
Yeah.
Donna, I refuse to go through hell on this earth and then die and go to hell.
Yeah,
how much sense does that make?
My God.
I was reading, while listening to this atheist. He was a professor. Never believed in God. That's not true. He believed in God as a child. But because of things that happened in his childhood experiences, he lost all faith in God. He grew up, he went to school, a learned man, learned from the best universities, taught at the best universities, but he just did not believe in God. He somehow allowed circumstances to remove him from fellowship with God. He had a heart attack and he died. And he talked about how things immediately went dark. And then he felt these things touching him. And then he saw these little, like, I don't even know what to call them. And he said they looked like they had on a robe. Now, I know exactly what he's talking about because I had that same experience just before I gave my life to the Lord. And he said they were scratching him and pulling on him. And he said the next thing that he knew, he was in this dark place, hot. He said he heard screaming and torment and screaming. And he said he just couldn't believe it. He said, and he said, here's the thing. He said, all of his faculties that he had on earth, he had in hell. Everything that he knew here on earth, he knew in hell. He remembered how he even rejected God. And by the grace and mercy of God, God brought him back. Needless to say, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Here's what I want you to get. When Jesus said, talking about prioritizing your reconciliations, if you go to give, we don't give to get, but if you're in that moment of giving and worship, because I look at giving as worship, and you're bringing your gift to the altar, and you remember in your heart that you've got, now listen, I'm not talking about something that you're thinking about in your mind, because your heart is really the root of everything. Your heart is what condemns you. He said, if you remember that you have ought against somebody, before you present it, because in that day they would present their gifts to the priest, he said, leave it at the altar. Mm-hmm. Go and find that person that you're beefing with, that you got a problem with. Get it right with them. Then you come back and you give your gift. Why? Because now you're qualified to give a gift. You see, you're not even qualified to give if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Man, I read that thing and it blew my mind. You're not even qualified to give the right way. Listen, God has a way that he said we're supposed to give. He said, don't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. You cannot even have a cheerful heart if you got unforgiveness mixed in there. And there's someone in here right now, maybe more than one. You're still dealing with issues from the past. You're still saying it wasn't my fault. Let me help you with something. How many of you know that Jesus did not sin? He never sinned. He did nothing wrong. When he went to the cross, he was completely innocent. He had done no harm to any man. He even said that the enemy of this world come to me, but he found nothing in me. There was nothing that the enemy had on him, but because of us, he went to the cross.
My God.
The Bible says he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Why? For the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
You got to get this thing. There is a place that we're going, Cheryl.
My God.
I cannot even begin to explain the glories of it. I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to, and listen to this. This is how much he loves us, Pat. Can you imagine him talking to Jewish people and then reciting a Jewish ceremony to use as an illustration of what happens and where he's going? The Jewish groom would say to his betrothed, now you got to understand that a Jewish man and woman, when they get betrothed, is just like being married. It was a serious thing. You didn't have to necessarily go to the ceremony. Once you made that commitment, you were considered to be married. So now, Jesus said, how can I get them to understand where I'm about to go? How can I get them to understand what I'm about to do? How can I get them to understand the relationship that I have with them? They may not see it, but what can I say to make them understand the type of relationship that we really have? He said, He said this, I go to prepare a place for you. I did research on it, and there are 12 things that a Jewish groom would say to his betrothed. And one of them would be, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may may be also. Many of us really think that Jesus then said something. No, no, no. He quoted what a Jewish man would say to a Jewish bride, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. And then he would go away, listen, for a season. And he would promise to come back to get his bride to be at the place where that he had prepared for her. Do y'all get this thing?
Yeah.
And I'm sure Jesus at that moment said, Holy Ghost, help them to understand this. Do y'all get this thing? He died for our sins, but he was raised up for our justification.
Yeah.
Which means, though he paid the penalty, we are looked at as completely innocent.
Amen. God,
that's so good. So now, but the job was not complete because the enemy still had the keys of death and hell, which meant Jesus had no access even after he died to go back into hell. So what he did, evangelist, he not only took the keys. Here's what I like about Jesus. He was a man that had a flair. He had a flair about him. So Cheryl, the Bible says, he descended down into hell and led captivity captive, which meant what the devil had, now he had. So he looked at the king of that domain, which was Satan, formerly Lucifer, who was holding the keys of death and hell because of sin. No penalty had been paid, so nobody had the right to take the keys. But Cheryl, once the penalty was paid, in the eyes of justice, the law was fulfilled. So Satan no longer had a right to hold the keys.
Yes, yes.
So Nicky, he took the keys of death and hell. The Bible says that he paraded him in hell. He made a show of him openly. He did not only take the keys, Trey, but he played him. He made a show of him openly. He said to those demons, this is the one that you believe in? Who's got the keys now? But we can't experience any of this with unforgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I think I told y'all just a few months ago, I had my first dream ever of the rapture. Vision. It wasn't even a dream. My first vision ever of the rapture. I've always had dreams about angels, but I've never really saw one face. I mean, they were always a light blocking their face, even with the Lord. There was always a light blocking his face. But this time, I was standing in a field of a church, like church grounds, and this bright light began to descend. So I'm thinking, we're going to burn up, because I'm thinking the sun is getting too close. We're not able to take this. But the closer the light got, I began to see just so many beautiful angels, all arrayed in white. And we were all standing there just looking at them. And then some of the angels landed. And that's the best word. They landed. And they began to walk amongst us. And I'm looking right. If they walk through that door right now, I can tell you, you're an angel. I saw their faces. I saw they were really big. They weren't mean. They weren't nice. They were neutral. They were, I'm telling you, they were about their business. They were getting people in groups. And I knew, and it was sort of like I was an observer. And they were getting people in groups, getting them ready. And there was so, I mean, they were just walking around doing their business there. Now, y'all know me and how I am about heaven. And I mean, y'all know how I am. So I'm standing there like with a big, I mean, I was grinning from ear to ear. I'm sure that angel's like, what is your problem? I'm grinning from ear to ear. And he just simply looked at me and said, you need to find your mediator. And then he just went on doing what he was doing. I was like, okay, I don't know what that meant, but I'm going to find my mediator. The next thing that I knew, I was in a community. I was walking up and down the street.
And I was telling people, get ready, get ready, get ready. The time is almost coming. Get ready. You know, the Lord is coming. I can almost feel. I mean, it seemed so real. It didn't even seem like I was dreaming. It seemed like I was taken to a place and I was watching myself do this. Let me tell you something. All I can do is preach the truth. I can't make a decision for you. I can't live for you. I can't get inside of your heart. I don't know your heart. But the Bible says this, that the word of God is quick, or means living and active. Dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And the word of God discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. I can't judge anything that you do. I'm not a, you get saved or you're going to hell. That's not what I do. But what I do is tell you about the glories of heaven.
Yes.
The torments of hell. Amen. The things that we are not allowed to do. The things that God the Father would not allow to come into that glorious heavenly place. Unforgiveness will keep you away from eternal things. Unforgiveness will put you into the place where you can't even have true fellowship with our Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but there is nothing inside of me that wants to carry. Nobody, who is worth carrying unforgiveness in your heart? Who is worth going to hell over? Now, I got a better statement. Who is worth not seeing the Father in that heavenly abode? He said this, good works can't get you there. Good works will not do it. You can be as good as you want. But my friend Miles Monroe, I always call him my mentor, because I came in contact with him in Atlanta years and years back in the 80s. And I've always followed his ministry. And he said something that I want all of us to remember. He said, good is only dangerous when right is neglected. So with all the good things that we do, our righteousness is just like filthy rags. It's not acceptable to the Father. The only thing that the Father... Listen, I heard a preacher say one time, Father, I'm so glad that I finally got to the place where you can trust me with your word. He said, I don't trust you. I trust my son. I don't trust you. I mean, if you really think the Father really... He just trusts me with the word. No, he trusts his son. He works through his son to get to you. But he trusts his son. Because we're feeble on this earth.
Yeah.
We are subject to temptations. Even, I don't care how glorious you are. You're subject to temptations even right now.
Yeah.
Some of you right now, even as I was preaching the word, your mind started wandering to places you want to go and things you have to do. It tells you the feebleness of humanity sometimes. We're just not even worthy to be in this society. Can you imagine that we're going to try to do enough good things to get into heaven? You don't have enough time on this earth. It's not enough time. I mean, if you're trying to earn your way into heaven, you better stay here for about 2,000 years. Because I'm telling you something, it's not enough time. Jesus said it best. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come through my Father but by me. So you don't understand it? Okay, let me help you with this. I am the door. Can you say it anybody? I'm the door. So if you want to come in, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the entryway into your eternal home. I'm the entryway. You know, you open that door and you go out, it takes you into another realm. It takes you into another place. So there's another realm that's parallel to this one right here. And I know y'all think, I'm going to die and I got to go to this place. Listen, heaven is as near as a blink of the eyes. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
I can't even understand that because my mind deals with time and space. But there is nothing like that in heaven. Those things were created for us to live in. But when we are absent from the body, I told y'all my friend who we're going to his home going on Tuesday. Pastor George Taylor. He came to preach for us just a few months ago. We went by to see his wife this Tuesday, I believe it was. I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And we went by to take her a meal. And I was sitting there, and she was talking about George, and everything that she was saying is absolutely true. George is one of the nicest people. What, just one of the nicest people you ever meet. I mean, just no agendas. You know, some preachers you get around, and you feel like you got to act a certain way, and, you know, they got this air about them. I can't stand that kind of stuff. And that's why George and I got along so well. I've known George for 38 years. Just a nice, it never changed. And I sat there as his wife was talking, and my mind immediately went to George. And I wouldn't say it out loud because I know Darlene and his wife would have thought I was crazy. But I was saying to myself, George, how dare you get there before me? I did, Cheryl, and I thought about what he must be doing right now in heaven. I bet you said, man, John, if you was here, man. And I just got this kind of jealousy in my heart. I'm not going anywhere yet. It's not my time. But y'all stand with me there. But you know, I always say, I'm not staying 1 minute longer than my purpose on this earth. When my purpose is done, I'm out of here. I don't want to stay one moment longer.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.